All right, welcome back, everybody. It's been a month. It's been the longest month of the year, longest year of the month. I don't know. It's been
I
crap
agree with all of that.
on a global scale, but on a fantasy world scale. Last time I gave you all some homework. I think I've gotten something from everybody but Matthew. Do folks want to go around and share your homeworks, or do you want to keep them personal? Seeing a lot of strong opinions here.
Nah, I don't want to like share in super detail. How about that?
What'd you
For
say? What did you say, Amanda?
nah.
Nah, okay, we'll keep them private. Matthew, did you have one to send me?
I do. I'll send it to you privately then, since we're doing this privately.
Okay. All right. In the spirit of today, Saint Valentine's Day,
Oh, yeah.
your homework for next time will be to tell me about a time that your character has had a crush on somebody, or if your character is a type of character that does not get crushes on somebody. Somebody that perhaps you had a little bit of hero worship about.
Can you mention that again at the end of the session?
Yeah, I'll put it in the Signal chat.
Cool.
Great. And as a reward for completing your homework, you all have the ability to add +5 to one con roll of your choice in the future.
Wow. Okay.
So please mark that somewhere. I'll try to remind you if I remember, but my memory is about as tight as a sieve. So,
Yeah, me too.
and don't forget, you also have a free 20 on a death roll from last time. So.
And that just lasts forever.
That lasts until you use it for both of
Yeah,
these.
until we use it. Yeah. That's wild.
It's
And
something
sorry.
new. It's something new I'm trying, and I obviously reserve to write to tweak how I'm doing this going forward. But we will see how much you all, how it works out, and how much you all abuse it.
Well, there's only one, so we can only use it once.
That's true. I think be very cautious here, treading carefully.
Is inspiration just one session?
You start with it every session, and if there's moments later in the session where I feel like that you are doing especially good role playing, or especially role playing to your ideals, bonds, or flaws, I might award it as well. But the reason that you always start with it every session is because I feel like all of you are pretty good about doing that at least once per session, and I'm really bad about remembering to actually word it out. So, if there's also moments where you all are like, "Oh man, that was really good," and I think they deserve inspiration for that. You can always plead a case for it. Oh, none of you are playing human characters. It's like human characters get it like every long rest.
Yeah.
But humans are boring,
Yeah.
and
Okay.
And also, if you get inspiration and you already have it, you can give it to somebody else. So,
Okay.
previously on Starfall, you all have made your way to Portage, a bifurcated trade city in the Obsidian Rim. The city is split into two halves on opposite sides of an isthmus, connecting the oceans on two opposite sides of a continent of two continents, and is a very important hub. You all were sent there after being rescued from the pirate Tyrgar the Deadly by an adventurer named Una, who's asked you all to head out this way to investigate a shooting star that she saw and was able to investigate herself. So you all need to make your way eventually, no rush, to the Vista Marna jungle in the west, which will is best accessed from the city of Jungle's Edge. And so you all were told there's two primary routes to get there. There's going by boat, which is quicker and potentially less dangerous, but costs money. Or you can be caravan guards and make money going there, though that is a little more fraught with peril and will take a little more time. But before you could even really figure out all of that, you all happen to be at a marketplace doing some shopping when a necromancer burst in along with some undead minions. You all killed the necromancer and found out that she had been alive multiple times in the past, kept coming back. And so you all agreed to watch over her corpse for the city guards in case anything happened. And something did happen. She got up being controlled by some sort of demon, some sort of hot demon, I should say, that you all were able to bind and send back to the Astral Sea. Your obligations to Guard Captain Jim Cutter were pretty much over at that point, but you all, intrigued by this, decided to look further into it, and using some very good investigative techniques, were able to determine that the necromancer had some sort of connection to the Carmalan Temple. You made your way there and found a priest who recognized the necromancer as being a high-ranking priest in the north side, the other version of Portage's temple. So you made your way there and found Philomena Goldfound, the twin sister of the necromancer, who had unwittingly been aiding and abetting her sister by resurrecting her every time she died, and the demon drug her body back to their estate. Interested in why this was happening and, you know, what could be the cause of all this, you all got permission from Philomena to search through her twin sister's lodgings, the guest house at their very opulent estate. And that's where you arrived last session, where you explored the guest house at Goldfound, at the Goldfound Estate, very quickly finding a anti-intruder measure, a rug of smothering that very nearly took out Ula, or it seemed that way, but Ula has more hit points than she thought. And you all were able to investigate the estate, finding clues that this wizard wasn't actually much of a wizard at all. You quickly determined that the necromancer was actually a warlock and had made some sort of pact with a demon. While searching the upstairs, you found what was left of the house staff, two sort of vengeful spirits, and an undead creature that successfully managed to pass itself off as a zombie until it could get within lightning bolt distance of you all and blasted you all down a single hallway. But you all were able to make short work of these undead fiends and finish exploring the house. While exploring the house, you found that the Deudra Goldfound had a lot of money in the bank. Kes tantalizingly took a note that has Deudra's handwriting on it, a letter to her accountant. Y'all also found some warlock paraphernalia, a scroll of armor of Agathys that Hayren took, a dark shard amulet that is in Ula's possession, and a invisible a pen that can write illusory script at will, which is in Roisin's possession. Just a small little thing you found in a bathroom, a bag of holding, inside of which was a floating talking skull named Snark. Snark being the now orphaned familiar of Deudra, and being kind of annoying and brash, but also kind of a lovable idiot. You all were able to get some good information out of Snark, namely that Deudra was working for a a demon that sounded very similar to a lot of Caitlin's previous characters, Narathis, and that the demon that you all killed was known as Baycoak, or Baycock, as you all insisted on pronouncing it. And that why all this had been happening was that Dudra had found a book bound in angel flesh, with pages made of angel flesh, that was otherwise unassuming, that contained a ritual to destroy any celestial being. And unfortunately for the Major Domo, he had sold that book along with some other books to a vendor near the marketplace where you all were attacked. And that kind of kicked off this whole thing with Baycoak possessing Dudra as they increasingly frantically tried to find this book in order to deliver it to Narathis. So having figured all that out and having informed Philomena of everything that had happened, Hayrin gave Snark a blue gem eye in one of his eye sockets, endearing Snark to them. And now, unfortunately, you are stuck with Snark. With the book still in the wild, Philomena didn't want to waste any time in tracking it down and destroying it. Hayrin remembered that there was a bookstore near the market called Twice Sold Tales. And so Philomena escorted you all out of Goldfound Estate and took you off towards the market where you were first attacked. What seems like months ago, but was actually yesterday. In game.
Chris.
Yes.
There's one point when you were talking that you said one word leading into necromancer that made it sound like you said snackromancer.
Snackromancer.
And I decided that's my real life class.
Your real life and Tony's life too, I think. I think Tony would be a snackromancer. Mm-hmm. All right. So it is still and probably the 6th of Sylvian, yet again. And you all are en route from the Goldfound Estate back to South Portage. You all have to go through the big archway again. And so we'll plug your ears in whatever manner necessary to get through that with as little discomfort as possible. Real quick question, what languages does everybody here speak?
Common, Draconic, Elvish, and that's it. And Thieves Cant, that's not a language.
Just Common, Primordial.
Common, Draconic, Elvish, Halfling, and Sylvan.
Okay.
Sign and Primordial.
Okay. And Roisin?
Elvish, Giant, Ordic, Primordial.
Okay. So as you all are walking, Philomena has pulled out a sending stone and is speaking to somebody in Celestial.
Interesting.
We're on our way to the market.
You're gonna see Latin.
So, she is walking briskly. And after she gets off the sending stone, she says, we'll have a bunch of clerics who'll be meeting us there from the South Kamala Temple. She says, do you have any idea exactly where in the market she might have been looking or heading, or is it pretty indiscriminate?
She was mainly just tearing the place up. Yeah.
Yeah, she had her creepies kind of going everywhere, just tearing everything apart. Well, the demon did. It wasn't her.
Yeah, that's my sister was methodical. She says it's wouldn't be like her to just tear into something higgledy piggledy. All right, so you all cross through the gate, that loud, low thrumming, that feeling of pressure that's only relieved when you get through on the other side, and you all find yourself back in South Portage. And after a little while, you all make it to the marketplace as the sun is starting to get low in the sky. The marketplace is lit up with golden hour, all these sort of yellows and oranges casting lights on the sides of the stalls. As Philomena arrives, you see Acolyte Alden Stemaroster. Gosh, I struggled on that like two sessions ago, too. Stemaroster. Waiting there along with a bunch of other clerics. She kind of goes up and starts speaking with folks, being like, we're going to have a nice orderly search. We're looking for a book about journal-sized, light blue cover. Might have unusual feeling pages.
Had we relayed that we thought it was at or like about the bookstore, or are we gonna go do that?
It's up to you guys. I don't think you told her about that last session. Is that something you would tell her, or is it something that you all would go search yourselves?
I think we'll go.
I'm curious.
Mm-hmm. It's not a huge store.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll start over here.
Yeah.
All right. So you head over to, you find your way to Twice Sold Tales. It is a part of you, the jerk in me was like, it's like Powell's bookstore. It's 5 stories tall and a full city block. But no, it is a relatively modest bookshop in the back end of a larger building that looks to be like an inn. You walk inside and you see a very wizened old dragonborn woman sitting behind the counter with a cup of tea in one hand. And sitting across from her, you see an equally ancient-looking tabaxi with torty markings, also sipping tea. And they both kind of look over at you, and the tabaxi says, oh, hello, welcome to Twice Sold Tales. Are you looking for some used books?
Yeah, specifically if you have any that are made out of angels.
Do we have any that are made out of angels? The dragonborn across from her looks and says, I don't think so.
Haven't got any weird leathery books in lately.
With a blue
from a gentleman shirt? And I kind of describe what I think Major Domo looked like when he wasn't undead.
Okay. And you describe the book, Caitlin?
Yeah, that it's light blue, no writing on the spine, and it's not very thick.
The tabaxi says, well,
is that the right one?
Yeah, that's the right one.
Oh, okay.
Well, let me think about that. And go ahead and roll me, just to see how well you conveyed the impression of said Major Domo. Go ahead and roll me I'll call it a persuasion or a performance check, Toby.
Okay, I'm good at both of those. 20.
Nice.
The dragonborn is like, oh yes, I remember that man. quite a nice looking man, well to do. Well, what was it he was in here selling? Books, yes, of course, but he said that they were historical books that might be of interest to the museum. We often work with them.
Oh. Did you think that you might have sent it over to the museum, or is it still here?
She looks over to the tabaxi, who kind of scratches her chin for a second. She looks, well... No, I don't think I did send those to the museum yet. She says, I think they might be in the back room.
Can we check in? Look at it?
They look at each other and kind of shrug. If you happen to see any books you'd like to buy.
Keep an eye out for sure.
You have the second book in the Blood and Chocolate series by... Oh, I scrolled down.
Like Sergei Saboteur, right?
Sergio Saboteur, yeah.
She's like, would you like that in a hardcover or a paperback?
Nice.
Was the one that I got last time, the hardcover.
It was a very nice hardcover version, yeah.
Hardcover, then.
Oh, yes, we've got a few copies of it over there in the realism section.
Excellent.
All right, so you go over, look for that. So who's going to the back room?
I'll try.
All right, so you all kind of jostle your way in through these very narrow kind of corridors of this bookshop. The place is filled floor to ceiling with books, and you feel like it's, you know, every year that the shelves get a little bit closer together so they can add more books in there. It is almost more books than space at this point in here. And so you make your way into a back room and into the ordering system of what could only be considered a disordered mind. you just see piles of books all around that are loosely related somehow. You're not sure by what metric. And so I'm going to need either investigation or perception checks. To either make sense of this or just hope to spot the book.
18.
Which one did you roll?
Perception.
Okay.
22 perception.
Natural 20 investigation for 26.
Hey.
Nice.
Okay. Kes, this makes sense to you. You don't know how. You don't know why. But you start to kind of free associate, like, oh, this pile definitely, like, this pile seems to be, like, you know, authors that are from a different country. This pile seems to be historical mm-hmm. books. And then you see a pile of kind of old tomes that are kind of hidden behind some other piles that look like, that you just get the hunch might be donations for a museum. These books all look older. And dustier than the rest.
Hey, I think these books look old. That's what a museum likes, right? They like old things. I'll start clicking through them. See if there's one that matches the description we have.
Okay. You get about 10 books down and you see a book with a light blue color on it.
Okay. I open it up. Are the pages made of flesh?
I need to check one thing real quick.
Can I roll an insight before? Am I quick enough to roll an insight before he opens that book?
Nope.
Dexterity check.
Okay. You open the book and you see what looks to be a cookbook. But as you flip through the pages, you just the vellum is just a bit more leathery than it should be.
You realize it's cooking the angel, not actually cooking for angels.
To serve gods.
Cooking for angels.
But it reads like cooking recipes. It doesn't.
Yeah, you look and there's a recipe for like grandma's molasses cookies. There's a recipe for, you know,
using just normal ingredients.
Yep, using just normal ingredients. You flip through, just kind of looking for anything out of the ordinary, and it is, you know, the weirdest thing you see is there's a recipe that uses like. Both like peanut butter and broccoli. And you're just like, that's a weird combination.
Did Philomena come with us or is she out in the market?
She's out in the market. Yeah.
Hey, Ula.
Yeah.
you do like God stuff here. I think this is the book, and I give it to you. But okay. It's just the, I looked inside, it's just a cookbook, but
okay.
Well,
the kind of fleshy interior.
So, Caitlin,
secret.
Not to give the whole game away here, Caitlin, but you haven't filled out your entire character sheet on D&D Beyond.
I haven't.
No. What is Ula's alignment?
You told us to fill all that out, and I did it.
Not maybe you did it in your character book. I don't see it on D&D Beyond.
Huh. Okay. Oh, I did the ideals, bonds, and flaws things. So, sorry.
That's okay.
My alignment?
Yeah.
I mean, whatever, like, whatever I'm feeling for the day, good.
Okay. Roll me a charisma save as you pick up this book.
This tells me something about Matt's character that's interesting. Oh, no! That's a 5. I'm going to use my inspiration.
Okay.
Nat 20, baby!
Yeah. What?
There we
Nat
go.
20!
So you will only take half damage, and you will not be blinded, deafened, or muted.
Muted. I thought you said mutated. I was like, what the fuck?
So you take 9 points of necrotic damage.
Okay.
And immediately drop this book.
Okay, well, I drop it because now I only have 4 hit points because we didn't heal.
Yeah.
I was going to say, as I'm 2 feet taller than Kes, unless not allowed, I would have been like towering over his shoulder and reading the book.
The cookbook?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, cool.
You see all sorts of recipes for, you know, cookies and jams and meatloaf.
Did I see anything in it?
No, the moment like you grabbed it, like you dropped it, and like your hands are literally like, you can just see like they're just like second degree burns on your hands from where you've touched this book.
Tommy's curious, so she's trying to look at it too.
It's currently on the ground. Do you pick it up?
Yeah, I pick it up.
Roll me a charisma save.
Okay.
I was about to say, is this where we learn that Tommy's evil?
Charisma save.
Tommy starts glowing and lifts 15. Up off the ground. What'd you get?
15.
You take 12 points of damage and you are blind, deaf, and mute.
Ooh.
And drop the book.
Everyone?
You can't
You're
talk.
Mute. Oh, yeah. I'll be like,
oh,
well, I
Kes
know
will
my
carefully
hand.
Reach down and reach for the book.
Okay.
Pick it up.
You pick it up. It's fine.
Okay, I'm just going to hold on to this now.
I cast Cure Wounds on Tommy.
Okay.
That's really good. 17 points.
Cool. You heal 17 points, but you are still blind, deaf, and mute.
Yeah. I know what almost happened to me, right? I could feel what it was doing.
I would say that like you just felt like a flash and like a pop. Like it just like, you know, those senses were just kind of like overwhelmed for a second. Yeah, I'd say it's.
So because Tommy and I are probably closer to size, right? Because you're pretty short. So I'm going to grab you by the shoulders, and you feel a little spark, but I don't have the juice for lesser restoration because I used all my second level slots.
Tommy, what are you doing in this moment?
I reach out to try to see who's grabbed me, and I figure out pretty fast.
Yeah.
I just put your hand on my shell.
All right. So, hey, Ren, what are you doing during all this?
I was going to say, I know, like, we went ahead. I don't want it to be, like, meta or, like, whatever. That. So I was going to, when Kes was holding it, I was going to, like, bite a page.
Bite a page?
Bite a page?
Or, like, you know. Because, like, yeah. It's like.
Oh, you're trying to figure out if it's, like, flesh. Angel. Yeah, angel flesh.
Yeah, I like if it's angel flesh. We kind of want to just see what it would feel like.
All right, do you touch the book?
With my mouth? I mean...
Also, explaining, like, I love this idea. I'm here for it. I just want to know, like, what does Hayren say to Kes while you start leaning in?
I didn't. For a nibble.
I didn't
what,
say
what are you doing? What are you doing?
Huh?
What, you're like bringing your face close to me, and I don't know why, and it's making me uncomfortable.
Oh, sorry. I wanted to try the book.
Oh.
Try?
Okay.
You know.
If you want to touch it, see if you burn.
The logic holds. If it's made of something, you taste it.
You never wanted
I
to
don't
just...
know that that's true of everything.
I don't know.
You never wanted to try, I mean...
Never wanted to taste an angel? Not like this.
Or
I hold up my hands with my second degree burns. While Tomi stands over my shoulder with her hands wrapped around my shell.
Happy she's deaf.
I mean, oh yes, and Tomi, you also have said burns on said hands.
Okay.
Pertinent question. Since you're from under the ocean, have you ever burned your tongue?
Me?
Mm.
I'm talking to Hyren.
Oh.
Me? I'm not from the ocean.
Oh, she let you.
She's on the coast. She lived in Sinport. Ula's from under the ocean.
That's me.
I mean, I guess you can lick the book if you want to, but you might not
I
be tasting anything
on a fish
for a week.
Before, lick the book, almost drowned in the water. But never.
All right.
You know,
so
I can breathe underwater.
So do you lick the book?
I do. While they're talking, distracted, I just go and I lick the book.
Hey, nothing happens to you. But also, it tastes like dust. And then there is just this weird. I'm going to describe it as a sparkle on your tongue as you just taste this sort of, just the sort of inherent magical energy that is imbued in what would be the flesh of a celestial.
Is it like Pop Rocks?
It's not like Pop Rocks.
Like the dregs of Pop Rocks? Most
yeah,
of
it yeah it's like the bottom of the bag Pop Rocks.
That's funny.
Okay. Well, I think we should give this to.
Do you share any of that with the group, by the way?
Yeah. Zesty. Definitely
zesty.
Magical.
Zesty.
Like a magical zesty. This is why you should taste things and lick things.
I just hold my hand.
How do you detect the magic?
I don't know. Now I'm questioning everything. How do I detect magic?
Didn't think the session would get so existential so quick.
Right.
Sorry.
All right.
But I think this is. I think this is it. You're right.
Okay.
Okay. In that case, I'm going to flick my earring of message and point out the door and say. Hey, Philomena, I think we found it in the bookstore. It burned a couple people. Two people are fine, and one person licked it. But why don't you come see for yourself?
Cards on the table. One of
You're
them
really left. Throwing Hayren out under the bus.
which you also let her know which bookstore, like, it's...
Yeah, I give it the name of the bookstore. I can't remember what it was.
I have a feeling she'll
Twice
be able to
tales.
Guess, though,
Twice
when
old tales.
He comes in, who licked it.
And then Kes will come out of the back room out to the front store area where the two attendees were. So, I think we found it.
Oh, good, dearie. It's an angel book, you said? Is it one of those romance novels?
No, but it's a religious text.
A book of unspeakable evil.
I wasn't going to say that. But
and I hold up my hands again. I'm a little salty about my hands. All right,
are we all heading out?
Yeah.
Oh dear, darling. Did you get into the ink again?
I knocked over 19 books on my way coming.
I'm like guiding Tomi. Oh, no. Left, left.
And she can't hear you at
Oh, yeah,
all.
with my hands. Like,
Well, the
And
funny
the
thing is.
perception's off because we're so different in heights.
Yeah, that's what it is.
All right. Well, I guess the other thing too is you guys don't necessarily know like that Toby can't hear. You get the idea she can't see. She's definitely not talking, so it's all right. As you guys are heading out, the Dragonborn says, "Oh dears, did you find anything you'd like to purchase?"
Sure, I grab the closest book and I put it on the table for them.
Well, I wasn't leaving the store yet because I don't know if they want us to buy this book or not. I was waiting for Philomena to come.
Yeah, if they want money, Philomena can pay it.
Yeah.
They've not seemed to like that you've taken this book and they do not seem to have like expected payment for it. So you could leave, but if you want to stay, that is fine too. After a few minutes, the door opens and you see Philomena there along with oh gosh, I already forget his name, Stemaster, Acolyte Stemaraster, and then High Priest Castle Tanira. And Philomena says, "Do you have it?"
Found it. I will just warn you. I point at Ula. She burned her hands. I point at Tomi.
All
She
them.
burned her hands and can't talk
Oh, is she
and
the
might
one
not
that
be
licked
able to
it?
see.
No.
Thank
You're not throwing Tommy under the bus
you.
on this one. No.
Thank you.
She also can't see. And I hold my hands up like next to her ear. I'm also not sure she can hear right now. Can you
It's
help
a
her? I
perfect
don't
crime.
have perfect crime. She'll
All
never
right.
I can't
know.
help her right now.
The high priest goes over to Tomi, begins to cast a spell. I think, how long does this spell take to cast? I think, is it a minute? Oh no, it's an action. So yeah, high priest comes over, holds their holy symbol of Karmala, places the hand on Tomi, and Tomi, you can suddenly see again, hear again, talk again.
That is a bad, bad book.
It's a bad book. It's very bad.
If it's bad, what does that say about Kes? No offense, Kes.
Or hey,
Yeah,
Riven.
Kes
Or
and Aaron. Yeah,
Aaron.
Kes, you.
I never claimed to be a good person.
Edgy.
Careful, Aaron's gonna think you're
Yes,
hot.
be careful.
No, I haven't asked the book keeps what they want for it, but here it is.
Well, first of all, they're sitting there looking at you holding it, and then they're looking at your hands. Oh, by the way, they cast heal on all of you.
Oh, nice.
Very
Fantastic.
nice.
So we're just back at full,
Back
right?
at
Since we're
full.
such weenies.
Yeah. And Philomena produces a bag of holding and opens it up and says, "Would you, Cass, would you be so kind as to put the book in this bag?"
Slide the book in the bag and take my hand back up.
Great, thank you. She reaches into a coin purse and puts a hefty-looking sack of coins on the counter. She says, "For your, for the book, I hope it's enough." And then she says, "We'll get out of your hair." Oh, also, she says, "Any books they've purchased should be covered by that as well."
Shit, I didn't actually shop for any books.
I just grab a bunch.
That's a big bag of gold, right? Like it looked hefty.
You would guess that there's probably 100 coins at least in that bag, and you don't know what currency, but probably gold at least.
Wow. Okay.
Don't
Okay.
forget, Philomena is filthy rich.
Filthy. Filthy rich. Right.
All right, so
Well, now I'm like, what books do I need if they're going to be free right now?
Yeah. Should we do
Right.
that thing where we like spend 1 minute and run through the bookstore and grab as many books?
The old
Like, shopping
Dragonborn
cart?
The old dragonborn lifts up the sack and holds it in one hand. She says, "Well, I don't know what you're waiting for. Your minute started 10 seconds ago."
I keep just the closest books.
Tabaxi kind of gets up, kind of crooked over, and just kind of stands in front of the rare book section nonchalantly, preventing anybody from getting there.
I do want to grab the rest of that series. The Tabaxi. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
You get the rest of that series. What's that, Caitlin?
Oh, nice. I want to walk up to the Tabaxi and ask if he has any books on Haumea.
Ooh.
Oh, the god, Haumea.
Mm-hmm.
She points to the religion section, which is not marked, but she calls it the religion section anyway.
Is she standing in front of that?
No, she's standing in front of the rare books that are expensive and would probably lose the money.
There, and I point behind her about Haumea.
She says, "Oh, ain't nothing back here but some profit margins that we'd like to keep."
Fair enough. I look over at my new friends piling books into our newfound bag of holding. And I'll just go over and grab a couple on Haumea.
Mm-hmm. Cool. All right. So you get some books on Haumea. Roshita, are you just indiscriminately grabbing like fiction books?
Yeah. Whatever's closest. Anything.
Tell me you got your series.
Could be nonfiction.
I want to grab some travel books. History too, like things bugs. About big areas that I think we're going to get to.
Okay, great. Hey, Ren, what about you?
If there's smut, I would like to find it.
Yeah, you spend your 50 seconds getting smut. What about you, Kes?
Kes was going to find the romance section also.
Mm-hmm.
And as Hyrin is grabbing things wildly, he's going to look to try and find a book that try and find a book with a warforged love interest.
Oh, absolutely. You find
fantasy book name generator. Come.
You find a two book series by Trace Pauly. One, the first book's called Arm of Steel, and the second book is called Heart of Iron.
No velvet wrapped steel.
They're relatively new, so there, you know, there could potentially be a third book out there.
What was the author's name again?
It's Arm of Steel and Heart of Iron.
The author's name.
Oh, Trace Pauly. TRACE space POLLY.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. All right. So y'all stocked up on books. It's interesting because Philomena doesn't have any need for these books, but you do see a flicker of a smile on her face as she watches you all gleefully grab as many books as you can carry and head out of the shop. As you step out of the shop, Philomena kind of gestures for the other two clerics to keep going for a second. She kind of leans in a little closer to you all just so that you all have a bit of privacy and says, "Well, I just want to say thank you so much both for getting this potentially very deadly book off of the streets and also for helping me figure out what was happening with my sister. I'm sad that this is her end, but I will rest better knowing exactly what happened instead of having to spend the rest of my life wondering." She kind of reaches into her pouch and pulls out the journal that you gave her, and she says, "And this will be something very dear for me to treasure. Hopefully I'll get more answers after I am able to read the rest of it." She says, "If there's anything I find out about Narathis, I will I will message you all and let you know.
Thank you. That's great. Greatly appreciated.
Sounds good.
She says, and I know none of you have asked for any recompense, but I think I would be pretty poor Carmalan priest if I didn't at least give you a few blessings before you go. And so she gives, she pulls out a bag of holding. Gives it to Tomi. actually, no, Ula. She should give it to you, Ula. I was just like, who would she kind of like, cause you're all a pretty equal, but like, who would she like in her head, like have leaderized for this group?
I don't know about that.
And it's probably for her, the fellow cleric. So.
What's in the bag of holding?
She says, reward for you all. I'd appreciate it if you open it after I've left. Just.
What? It's not our friend, is it?
We still have him
in the other bag.
Oh, he's still with us. Okay.
Unfortunately, yeah. He's still
it's
with
not
us.
A second one.
Oh,
is
he's
it?
In the bag. Okay.
Yeah, you guys already have him. She says, no, I just, I've never been good at giving gifts. She says, the whole process just makes me feel awkward. So, with that, I wish you well on your journeys. She says, and I put the blessings of Carmala on each of you that wished it. And so anybody that would wish for a Carmalan blessing can accept it, and they will have essentially a bless for the next 24 hours.
Ooh, very nice.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take that.
I do, just to be polite.
Yeah, just to be polite. I'll take the plus one d4 to everything I do for the next 24 hours.
Well,
great.
I don't know. She's not. Tomi's not the type of person who's religious, but she's also not the type of person that would be like, "No, I'm not going to take your religious blessing when you've helped us and we've helped you."
Not gonna throw it back in her face.
Yes. Like, no, I don't believe in your shit.
All right. So. So she bids her leave and then walks over to where the other clerics are. And then they start heading what looks to be towards the direction of the South Carmalan temple there by the docks.
Well, I mean, as soon as she walks away, I open the bag. Just right there.
In the middle of the street?
You're just dumping it out in the middle of the street?
No, like, I can open it and...
No, you have to dump it.
You open it and you look inside and you don't see anything in there and you realize this is a bag of holding. And so.
Okay, that's right. Well, where can we go so we can figure out what's in here?
Back to the inn?
We have our
inn
rooms.
What time of day is it?
It's now night. You guys arrived at the market at sunset. So
I really want my spells back. Let's go sleep.
All right. Yeah. So you head back over to the Eight Arms. Where Tomi's friend of Earthica is the barkeep. It's actually not too far from where you're at now. You see the drunken looking wooden octopus above the door as you walk inside and see things are a little rowdy in here. It's Fantasy Saturday, so the bar is pretty hopping and people are getting drunk and, you know, burning off the stress of the week. Both locals and sailors intermingling, some more closely than others. Verthika smiles as she sees a lot of you come in, and she says, I think you guys actually had a room for tonight. I think you booked it for two nights, if I remember correctly. So,
I think we did.
That sounds right to me. In my words, what goes. So so you walk in, and Verthika says, good to see you all. Good to see you all. She says, you're too late for dinner, but drinks for anybody?
Yes, please.
Yeah, I could use a drink.
And maybe something nicer this time. And
Ooh la la. All right. She says something not watered down. I got it. She
What?
says, "Do you want something hard, or do you want something something to sip on?"
Heart is good.
Tell me, what are you getting?
To drink?
Sorry, I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right. So she pulls out a dusty looking bottle of whiskey, opens the cap, pulls the cork out of it, puts a kind of a double sized shot glass in front of Kess, holds up another one, and looks expectantly at each of you to see if anybody else would like one.
Actually, do you have any honey mead?
She nods, puts a shot glass in front of Roisin. What about you, Heyran? And Heyran, Ula.
I think I'll have what Tommy's having.
All right. She then grabs two nicer looking mugs and sets them down in front of you two and opens up a kind of a long wine shaped bottle and pours in honey mead for each of you. And then if somebody would be so kind just to drop 5 silver pieces.
Yeah.
Somebody got it? I can get it.
I got it.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And then she winks at you, Tomi, and says, "If there's anything else you need, just let me know." And then she goes to serve other customers.
Thank you.
I don't think Ula has drank much, if ever. So she's very hesitant and like much like my reaction to those snacks last week.
We had some snacks that are both like umami and sweet, like sweet and salty, like
Yeah.
Trader Joe's snacks, and Caitlin did not like them.
Nope.
All right, so yeah, y'all sip your very, very surprisingly good drinks. They've actually never had a good drink in this bar before.
Nice. I think we earned it.
I think we did all right.
Yeah, I think so.
It's been a day,
Yeah.
but
A
we made it
long
to the end of
day.
it, so cheers to that.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Dumpy. So why do you think you got burned?
Really?
Don't know. Why do you think you didn't get burned?
Yeah. I think that's the more important question.
Yes, yeah, why didn't you get burned?
Hey, Ren, you didn't either, and you asked.
You
You can't just ask Chess why he
put
didn't get
your
burned.
mouth on it and didn't get burned.
Yeah, maybe that's why.
Oh, maybe it was hands.
Don't
Just wasn't
know
like
about
hands.
that.
I don't think that matters either.
Let me. We're just like sitting at a table at the bar, right? Excuse me. Let me ask you a question. And this can go to each of you, but I'm looking at Ula. What's the worst crime you've ever committed?
I think my silence might be the answer.
Have you never committed a crime?
No.
And that's why you got burned by the super evil book of supreme darkness, and I didn't.
Yeah, not a lot of jaywalking
Jaywalking. I don't think jaywalking would make a evil book burn you.
the
I don't think that would protect you from an evil book.
So you're saying you do a lot of crime, Kiss?
ocean. It's my main source of income, if I'm being honest.
Do you have a favorite crime that you like to enact?
Stealing from someone who really deserved it.
See, that's fun.
I
That is
think I
fun.
understand why crime is a big thing up here. Because where I'm from, it's not a huge thing. It's just not a huge thing. Everybody just takes care of each other.
Well, that must be nice.
Yeah. It's boring. You know, there's not a lot of new stuff that happens. But there aren't people without anything. There are certainly people with a lot more. But they're just not really allowed to take everything.
We come from very different places.
Yeah. It's a lot more dangerous down there, though, too.
Sounds like it's better down where it's wetter.
Lose your heroic inspiration.
Me? For her?
Amanda?
Also, that is the first time I've heard that and gone, ooh, dirty.
You don't actually have to lose your heroic inspiration.
That's hilarious.
I mean, I will say, you know, I've never been to where you're from, but my village, it was pretty big. I call it a village, but it's pretty big. But it was kind of similar. Like, we didn't have a lot of outside influence and we all kind of had to work together. But there were still shitheads who did do crime, but probably more like the kinds of, you know, either they were a bad egg or like some young hooligan who thinks they need to do something to show off, and nothing that sounds like coming from a good place, good-ish place, I'm assuming, Kes. I don't know, I might be wrong. A place of writing shitty things. Maybe. Just met you, so I don't know.
I'm sorry, I didn't quite get what you were implying.
I don't want to, I just didn't want to paint you into being something and make assumptions. I can make an assumption based on stealing from those who deserve it, that you're not all bad, you know, you're not all evil or non-deserving of getting your hand burned. You know what I mean?
There's nothing wrong with stealing from people who deserve it, really.
But yeah, that's the point I was trying to make.
Funny, I know a number of...
I'm just trying to fit all of my...
members of law enforcement who would disagree with you. And I know them quite well.
I think they're wrong.
Ooh, are they people that you steal from? Or that you crime against?
On occasion.
I've crime against.
I have crimed against many a police officer.
Ooh. A gab.
A gab, yep.
A gab, yep, for sure. All guards are bastards.
Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah,
I think that where I'm from, it just wasn't necessary in the way that it seems to be up here.
Priming?
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah.
Look. Crime can also just sleep,
either of you?
What?
No, not really the murdering type.
Amazing.
I mean, if they were going to murder us in our sleep, they would have done it already.
I don't know. Maybe probably. There's some kind of long game. I read books.
What were you saying, Hayrin?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I interrupted.
No, it's okay. Nothing. I don't remember.
Personally, I'm not worried by anything that happened in that back room, assuming I did not miss anything really, really big when I was blind, deaf, and mute.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, just
bothered.
Yeah, just Hayrin tasting a book.
Oh, yeah. But you know about that now because we've all made lots of comments on the fact.
Yeah, I mean, the only ones we've actually made were before I think I was unblinded. But I assume we made fun of her on the way back here, too.
I stand by it. You know what they say. Scientific. Curiosity made the cat a genius.
Okay. It's called experimenting.
I went through an experimental phase where I licked some things I shouldn't have.
Who
I
hasn't?
Mean, you only learn what you can eat through trial and error, really.
Hmm.
True.
Sounds about right.
Although
it was this.
Sorry,
go for it. No, you go.
No, I was just going to say, actually, now thinking about it, good thing that somebody who could touch the book did that experiment. So perhaps next, yeah, able book or whatever. Don't. There are some people who shouldn't put their mouth on it. But also, Roisin, you didn't touch it, did you?
No.
What do you think it would have done to you?
I don't know.
Neither does the DM, because I looked and your alignment is not filled out on your character sheet either.
I also did what Caitlin did. I think I thought it was just the ideal sponsor for
yeah, that's all.
Or my indecision happened.
It's also really high on the list.
Yeah. That's going to be your homework too, is to fill out that section of your character sheet online.
Understandable.
I don't know. I just saw some hands get bent and I said, I don't need to touch it.
Yeah, understandable. I didn't need an answer to that question either. Unfortunately, I was too quick, too fast. So, do we think we want to go over land or by the sea to get to where we're going?
I feel like we talked about this a little yesterday, but I don't remember.
I think we were going to do
anywhere.
Land, I thought.
That's what I was thinking, too.
Because we wanted to make some money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was going to cost us $5 apiece to take a boat.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Well, do we want to go upstairs and find out what's in this bag?
Yeah.
Yes.
Ooh, and on the way there, we go through Black Glass, which we are all interested in because it's like an artsy town.
Oh.
Excellent note taking, Amanda.
Thank you.
Nice. So I start heading upstairs then.
All right, y'all head upstairs. You two have two. I think you two rented. I think you all rented two rooms adjoining.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So you all pile into one of them. It's a little tight fit.
And I take the bat of holding and empty it out.
A bunch of gold pieces pour out onto the ground. And then on kind of falling out on top of it, you see four hand-shaped discs that kind of fall out on top of the gold. And there's a little note that kind of falls out, that flutters down after them.
I'll pick up the note.
All right, roll a charisma save. No, I'm just kidding.
I know where you live, Fairfield, and I'm very.
You pick up the note, and it's just a little handwritten note that says, thanks again for everything you all did. Priest Philomena asked that we give this to you. And it's, he says, the gold is obviously gold. And then these are restoration tokens. So basically, these are, there's five because there's five players. These tokens are basically one use Lester restoration tokens that you can use as an action. You literally just break the token over whoever it is you want to cast it on, and it casts Lesser Restoration on them. So
nice.
Cool. And is that also a bonus action because the spell is a bonus action, or is that a full action?
Is Lesser Restoration a bonus action?
It is.
Oh, wow. Ooh.
It's great. Yep. Bonus action, you touch a creature and end one condition, blind, deafened, paralyzed, or poisoned.
Oh, that is new.
Yeah.
Fuck it, yeah.
Sorry.
Sure, yeah, fine, bonus action, whatever.
I think, didn't it used to be a little bit beefier than that, though? Like, it used to do more than just that?
I think so.
It used to also cure diseases, which it does not do anymore.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, now it just cures blind, deaf, paralyzed, or poisoned.
I'll hand everybody one. And then count up the gold.
Okay. There is 500 gold pieces there.
Woof. Nice.
So 100 a piece.
Very nice.
All right. So do you all retire to your quarters to rest for the evening?
Mm-hmm.
And if I recall correctly, it was Ula, Roisin, and Hey Rin in one room, and then Tomi and Kess in the other. Is that correct?
Sure.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Excellent. All right, y'all go to sleep. Everybody, roll me a perception check, please.
Uh oh.
Why?
Because I, the DM, asked you to.
So, while we're like getting ready for bed, could I be like doing a book haul? And if anyone wants to participate.
Oh yeah, you're looking through all your smutty titles. You get some good stuff in here.
Very nice.
Oh yeah, can you tell me how many books are now in the back of holding? Because I assume they all got shoveled into the one that Kess is holding.
Oh, probably, yeah. I mean, I figure at the time they were just as much as they can carry.
Carrying like this.
We could put them all
or
in
everyone
the
has their own
bag
pile
of holding.
Of books.
Everybody that Matt was okay, so Tomi, you just got you got the extra books in the series and some local guides, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Roll me a D6 plus 3. Hey, Rand, roll me 2d12. Kess, you just grabbed two books, right?
I just grabbed those two, yep.
Seven.
Okay, Ula, roll me a d6.
Okay.
And Roisin, roll me 2d12.
Wow, six.
Nice.
So I got six books on Amia?
Yep.
I will... I'm going to keep the bag of holding that I have, and I'm going to put my books in that one.
Oh, yeah. Where'd you get a bag of holding from?
The one that Philomena gave us?
Oh, you got that. That's right. That's right. Never mind. Sorry.
Ula has that one, and I have the one.
For some reason, I thought Kess had the one that Philomena gave you guys. No, Kess has the one with Snark in it. And so when you open up the bag of holding... to put the books in there. Snark flies out.
Oh no, he can get out on his own?
Oh yeah. That's why it was tied shut.
Ooh.
Oh, not as bad as last time. Hey everybody.
Oh hey, Snark.
What is this? Where is this? We're in. Is this a prison? Mm. Have we been taken to prison?
This is an in room.
Wait, people sleep in places like this?
Yes. They pay to do it.
Oh, y'all are suckers.
Everyone can live in a mansion.
Pull out, subtly start pulling out my linen rope.
He pays you no heed and just kind of flies over to Hayren. Also, oh, by the way, I added stuff to y'all's character sheets that you added that you got last session, but I didn't see on your D&D Online character sheets. So
I saw that.
So Hayren, you'll notice under the companions tab or the extras tab.
Oh no,
Steve.
Thanks. Oh my god, that little art.
Oh yeah, I'll share the art in the signal chat that yeah, used for the companion piece for
Nice.
How many books are in the full series Blood and Chocolate by Sergio?
Three. It's a trilogy.
Okay.
So you count your books, Snark kind of goes up, floats up to you, Hera, and says, "So, what's new, bestie?"
same old, same old. We got some books, but I don't think you should be reading these. Can you read?
Of course I can. I just can't turn the pages.
Oh, okay. I'll find like a very just normal page that's describing something that's not smutty, and I'll just leave it there for him to read.
Now, where do you get this mystical page from?
We could let him read the travel guides, and then he could just tell us about stuff when we go places.
Oh yeah, do that.
Like that.
I'll pull out the travel guide that I grabbed about sort of the area we're going towards.
Hey, Ren, would you care to share his intelligence with the rest of the group?
Yeah, it's five.
Five. Can he read?
Total. Yeah, can he?
He said he could.
Can I insight check that?
Yeah. Oh, you absolutely can.
When he said that.
Picture books.
13.
Yeah, he can read picture books.
He is lying. You do not think he can read.
Oh,
yeah, maybe we can grab him some picture books.
Yeah, maybe. Do the travel books have pictures?
Oh, yeah. So they have lots of pictures. I'll grab like a big double page of picture and just like prop it open. Oh, so there's some words on it.
I'll
so he feels good about
run
himself.
My finger along the words and be like, the mountain is.
Yes. Well, don't leave me hanging. What's this mountain doing?
You're in it now.
The tallest mountain in the continent.
Wow. He kind of looks over at you here and says, "Did you know this continent has mountains in it?"
No, I didn't.
He says, "Do you think we'll see some as we travel around?"
Have you traveled far, Stark?
Oh yeah, I've been all over Portage, seen all of it.
Okay, great, fantastic. We're gonna have so much fun.
He says, "I've been to North Portage, South Portage, and Manor Hill, and the Dock District." West of the Dock District.
Have you been east of the Dock District?
I was there once, yes.
And do you have a favorite spot in Portage?
I do. It is the guest house at Goldfound Estate. It's wonderful. It's everything you need.
Makes sense.
He kind of floats over to you, Hayride, and like turns his skull so it just the blue gem is facing you. He's like, "Why are you so blue?" And then he just sort of floats and like lands like on the bed next to you.
First time Hayride's face has been not happy about the skull. That joke did it.
I like make a face at him when he turns away towards the book.
After a moment, you hear what are clearly fake snores coming from. Just a little light. No.
I don't know about this, guys.
Well, if he's asleep, he can probably just go back in the bag, right?
I use my little message earring and point at Heyrun. We could just put him back in the bag. Just saying.
I will cast Mage Hand and but like not be like I'm casting bait, you know. And then I'll just kind of shove him in the bag with the mage hand, but like, oh, oops.
As soon as he does that, I finish pulling out my rope and tie it.
Roll me a deception check, Aaron.
Uh-oh. Can I give help?
How are you going to help?
I will. Well, they're sitting next to each other, so I'm just going to walk around and like be in front of the, maybe like set something down on the bed, and I'm just doing something next to the skull.
I'll talk really loudly at you.
My question is, would you both know what she's about to do here?
I just messaged her that we could just put it back in the bag.
I will respond and say this is probably a mistake.
You can reply to this message.
I reply to this message.
This is the earring of sending, right? Or earring of message?
Earring of message, uh-huh. Yes.
You can't actually reply to that message, right?
You can't?
Oh, I can't?
I thought it was a message cantrip.
It casts message.
That's what I'm looking at.
Right?
Yeah, I think you guys are thinking of... Oh, no, you can. It can reply in a whisper, only you can hear. Okay, I was thinking of sending, which is 25 words or less. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So, yeah, I'll say yes. Your application for advantage has been approved.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I'm going to be like, I don't want to hurt his feelings, but yeah, he needs to go.
Yeah, go. Yeah, Chris, we're going to need these earrings, just so you know.
13.
All right, his natural one. He has no idea.
Amazing.
So you get it back in the bag, you tie it shut. It's quiet again.
Oh, okay. Phew.
Bedtime.
Yeah, he's probably going to be mad the next time we open that up.
Maybe. Might not remember. He seems kind of...
Fair. Fair enough.
All right. So.
And I tie my best, most secure knots I've learned throughout my entire life on that.
Yeah, roll me a, call it a sleight of hand check.
Okay. We get a d4, right?
And you do. Oh, you get a d4. Oh, yeah. You also have added a d4 to your lie.
22.
Okay. That.
Oh, wait, no, 20, 21.
Yeah, it'll be very difficult for anything to open that bag up.
Nice.
Especially from the inside.
Yeah. Okay. I'm tired. I'm out of magic. I go to, like, the corner of the room, like, next to the fireplace, and I haven't described this before, but I sleep in my shell, so I just get down on the floor and... So now my AC is 23.
It's a good sleeping AC.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
Nice.
Feet to zero.
Night, Ula. Sleep, dream, or sweet dreams.
Good night.
All right. Good night, everyone.
Good night. Dream well.
You too. I'm going to go back to our room and go lay down in bed.
Okay. And so what was everyone's perception check results with your D4 added?
Oh, I get to add the D4. That's
all right.
Yeah, the D4.
Doesn't matter a lot. That's fuck. I got 9. I have so much perception. 16. But I got a fucking 9.
14.
Damn.
14, 16, 17.
16.
Okay. All right, slam the long rest buttons. You all wake up the next day.
Oh, no. He could just be being a fucker. So there was nothing going on, but he's like, roll a perception
Chris,
check.
Did you see my message?
Oh, yes. Before you all wake up, Tomi, you wake up early.
Yes, I do.
Maybe sorry, you said it before the whole book and snark fiasco, and I just completely forgot anything that happened before that. Yes.
Like baker time.
Yeah.
Maybe last night I had asked, what's her name? Blah, 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 blah. Rosica, if I could use the kitchen, and I'm going to spend some of the morning making like some chestnut tarts.
Ooh.
And some egg puddings and bread puddings, and then I'm going to find someone and send a few to each of the temples to thank you to Philomena and Alum. Like basket size, but I don't have any baskets.
Yeah.
And then keep some for us too.
Great. Yeah, Vrithika has no objection for this as long as you cut her in on the baked goods.
Oh, so. Yes, totally.
As you're baking, she kind of tells stories about interesting encounters in the bar since you all have last been here, and then reminisces about like the last time you all were here and the good food that like your family made in the ovens and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Last thing I make some cinnamon rolls.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you all wake up having slammed that long rest button. Finally getting all your spell slots and resources back after a very long adventuring day.
Oof. Thank goodness.
You head downstairs to the bar where you see Tomi having just wrapped up baking in the kitchen and a wide variety of very delicious looking baked goods in front of you.
Oh.
Thank you, Tomi. Are these
for us?
Yeah.
They smell fantastic.
I have some of the more long-lasting things put away for when we travel, but yeah, these ones are for today.
I keep thinking of funny things because I'm a tortle, so I do pick up like a mid-sized, what was it that you made? Torts?
I made some tarts, I made some puddings, as in like little cakes, puddings, British puddings, not American puddings. And
I pick one up and I open my turtle mouth and put it in because the turtle mouth is really
your beak.
It's the whole thing.
So you eat pastries like I eat pastries.
Yes.
any brownie is a one bite brownie if you try hard enough.
If you try hard enough. It's true. Cool. All right. Well, do we want to take off?
Yeah, I guess. I think we wrapped up everything here in town.
We got to find someone. Did we find someone to travel with? Or do we have to completely do that?
Oh.
Yeah, you still need to find a caravan.
Right. Figure out when they're going.
But you also have contacts now in the town that might be able to help you out. You could ask Rithika for advice, guard captain Belwar Jim Cutter, you can know some people at the temple, all of whom would have like a good lead on potential travelers in the town.
Do we know would caravans be leaving from north or south Portage?
Both.
Oh, I wasn't sure if there were roads going from both of them or not.
Yeah, the roads go from both to both. Eventually meeting up and then heading it to Blacklass. There are also roads that go east into Castellanter as well.
Well, we got to get to Blacklass because that's the direction we're going.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, we're headed for Jungle's Edge.
Yep. Okay.
So, what do you do?
And then to the jungle.
Vrithika, probably, right? She'd know best.
Vrithika.
Yeah, we'll ask her first since we're here.
Yes, dear.
Do you know anybody who needs some people to go with their caravan or somebody to ask somebody? Maybe need some.
Y'all are looking for some guard work?
Yeah, we need to get to Jungle's Edge and thought maybe we'd make some money on the way.
Well, if you hurry, there is a Western caravan getting ready to take off, probably here in the next hour or so.
Oh, convenient.
Sounds perfect.
Well, it's, you know, most days.
Okay.
She says, make sure you do your negotiations with Ahanu. She'll be the one you want to talk to.
Okay. Ahanu?
Mm-hmm. A-H-A-N-U.
Cool.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Beth.
Okay. All right. So you all head off from the tavern? Okay. And you follow Vertica's directions to kind of to the western side of the dock district, where you see a large square that's filled with wagons and people, but is otherwise seems to have no purpose other than like staging these sort of caravans that kind of come in and out of town. You see people with wagons kind of coming up and talking to people and getting pointed in a direction of where they need to go.
Is there anyone in sort of any sort of uniform?
No. But you do see people
in the fancy hats.
You do see several fancy hats, and you do see several people who are pointing other people in what direction to go. So you would assume that those people are probably...
Is one of those people wearing a fancy hat? And which one is the fanciest hat?
You find a lithe-looking human man. He's wearing a very fancy garb, and he's got the most ostentatious wide-brimmed hat with a huge ostrich feather sticking out of it. And he is pointing people in directions to go.
Before we offer to guard the caravan, should we just preemptively make sure that this is Ahanu?
So we're going to ask him who to... Hello.
He looks over at you and he says, "Oh, hello." He kind of looks around, doesn't see you guys have any carts, but sees y'all are dressed very much like adventurers. He says, "Are you looking to travel with us as guards or passengers?"
We're looking to speak with Ahanu, actually.
Roll me a persuasion check.
I smile really big.
Can I help?
All right, if you tell me how, then perhaps.
Yeah, I wanted to offer, my charisma isn't high.
Oh, I'm looking at the wrong page. I'm looking at my notes trying to figure out where my what my
how are you helping, Heron?
19.
We just seemed like you know everything and you have such a beautiful hat.
All right, with that flattery, I will say your application for advantage is approved. Go ahead and roll again, Amanda.
And don't forget your d4.
And don't forget, you're blessed. D4. You're blessed.
Oh, yeah.
You're blessed.
So my last one was a dirty 20. This one is a...
Okay. With that 26, says, "Oh, well, Ahanu," he kind of points, and you see dead in the center of all of this, there is a wizened old elven woman. I'll actually send a picture of her in the chat, but you see she is wearing glasses and kind of has some animal bone necklaces and a staff, some twigs in her hair. And she is perhaps the sweetest old lady, looking old lady that you've ever seen in your life.
Oh my goodness, yeah. She's cute. Oh,
thank you so much.
She does have a dead rabbit in her pocket.
I pull out a egg pudding and I give it to him as we start walking towards Ahanu.
He says, "Charmed, name's Grant. If you're going to be on the caravan, perhaps find me."
Okay, Grant. Have a good day. Rest of your day. I can see you later.
You know, it's...
Can I lean over to Kes after we're out of earshot?
Of course.
I dare you to steal his hat.
Oh, here we go.
Shouldn't be too hard.
Before the end of the trip and not get caught. And no planting it and framing any of us either.
Well, what do you want me to do with it?
I don't know.
I thought you wanted me to steal it so you could have it.
No, I don't think it would go with my aesthetic. You could wear it, though.
No.
Ooh, maybe after you steal it, you can secretly hide it in one of Tomi, Ula, or Roshin's things, and then see how long it takes for them to find it.
That's not a bad idea.
Love it.
I can think of a certain floating skull that would look very fetching in an oversized hat.
Oh, boy.
All right. So you all make your way over to this wizened old lady who is nobody is talking to, but who, despite her kind of like very understated exterior, you see very sharp eyes that are watching everything around her.
Hello, Miss Ahanu. My name's Tomi.
Oh, hello there, Sugar Drop. She says, how do you know my name?
Verthika sent us to talk to you about maybe...
Oh, Verthika over there at the Eight Arms.
Yes, yeah, she's an old friend of mine.
She's still watering down the drinks there every night?
Oh, yeah, of course.
That's good. That's how I know that you actually know her. So, what can I do for you?
We were looking to travel west and maybe... worked part of that time as guards on your caravan.
I thought you all had the garden sort. She says, she kind of eyes each of you up and down a little bit. Barely moving her head, but her eyes doing all the work. All right, she says, you got a nice mix there. Holy folk, couple spellcasters, big fighter, sneaky sort. she says, old sticky fingers there, you able to keep them sticky fingers to himself for the duration of the trip?
If you're paying me, there's no reason for me to steal anything.
I appreciate your honesty and your outlook. pay is a gold piece a day per person, she says, as new people, she says, you'll be expected to maintain the back of the caravan. It is the most dangerous part. She says, fortunately for you all, caravan's a bit bigger than expected today, so we actually have room for some new folks back there.
Fantastic.
And I'm sure the previous back-enders won't mind the promotion.
How long is this expected to take to get us to Black Glass?
Chris knew the answer to this 3 months ago. give me just a moment to see if I can remind myself. I wanted to say about 4 or 5 days, probably.
And is meals included in our compensation, or are we providing for ourselves?
Oh, of course. If you're going to be my hired hands, of course I'm going to feed you. I'm not a monster.
All right, then.
She says, you'll get 3 good meals a day. She says, and obviously if anything should happen, I'll make sure that your pay goes on to whoever else should, you'd like it to go on to.
Speaking of, what sort of issues do you usually come across on this trip?
She says, well, she says, an ultimate destination for this caravan's Jungle's Edge.
Yes, too.
She says, oh, that's great. It'll be nice to have you the whole trip. Well, it's always hit or miss out there in the wilds. She says, some trips, nothing happens at all, and you'll get some easy money. We've been beset by bandits. We've had a run-in or two with some owlbears. You know, but thankfully it's not mating season yet for them, I don't think, so they shouldn't be too agitated. She says, you know, and one time I saw this monstrous creature step out of the grasses that was about 20 feet tall, had 8 limbs, 6 of which seemed to be superfluous.
And how tall were the grasses?
That's the thing. That's the damnedest thing. Grasses weren't that tall. Just seemed to pop out of nowhere. And we lost a few guards on that trip, but they were able to get it down eventually.
Interesting.
She says, that only happened the once, and that was some years back.
Interesting. That's good.
Okay. She says, it's the dangerous wilds out there. That's why the caravan's way to go. The safety of numbers. Exactly.
Interesting.
Cool. Well, I think that all sounds good.
I haven't actually hired you yet, so real quick, I just need to know what your bona fides are. So I see the flash, I see the steel, I see the... She actually kind of eyes your blade for a second longer than Heron, than she does the others. And she says, and all the other interesting things that you all have here. She says, but yeah, what have y'all fought? You've been together long?
No, but we killed a bunch.
We didn't kill the pirate guy.
True, but we did kill a demon, right?
You did?
Yes.
Yeah. And a bunch of like skeletons and...
We can get you a recommendation from Captain Jim Cutter if you want.
Oh, and Priest Philomena from the Kamala Temple on North Portage.
Either one of you, I don't care which one, roll me a persuasion check with advantage.
I have a -1 persuasion, so I'm leaving that to you.
I have a +3. I can do that.
Well, I have a +6.
Yeah, but you weren't talking, so.
Oh. I did add in.
With a D4 and advantage, though?
Yes, a D4 and advantage, yep.
Nice.
I guess I was 21. Doing the over table talk, not the at table talk.
What'd you get?
21.
21? Yes. She says, Philomena Goldfound vouches for you.
Mm-hmm.
She says, I've known Philomena a long time. You got her. If you got her blessing, then I think you're good to join up with my crew.
Nice. Yeah, we got her a book that was made out of angel skin. It was awful.
And a book that her sister had left that she didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so two books, if we're being.
Yeah, true.
Weird.
True. Oh, yeah, her sister passed, just in case you see her. Sometime soon, you just have that, you know that when you.
She says, we've already been for our blessing this morning, but next time I went down, I'll definitely send my condolences. I appreciate you telling me.
You're welcome.
Well, cool. So it sounds like we're hired?
It sounds like you are. She says, I'll pay you once when we arrive in Blacklass, once we arrive in Jungle's Edge. She says, but I reckon there might be any last-minute things you need, and she gives you each a silver piece. She says, this is the sign-on bonus. Won't come out of your pay later, but if there's any last-minute necessities you need before we take off in, 40 minutes, well, here you go.
Should we worry about rations or any equipment, or is it normal Chris rules?
Normal Chris rules here.
Perfect.
No, we have now moved into the survival horror version of this. How many ration boxes do you have checked off? Do you realize that would put you over encumbrance?
Well, Chris, my background means that I can provide food and water for people. So, you know, bring it on.
You guys are going through the bog. Roll for swamp rot.
No, thank you.
I don't know what that is, but I don't want it.
I once played in a campaign like that. It was awful.
Oh, no.
Is 40 minutes enough time to get to the market and back?
There's some markets near here, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Unless there's something specific you wanted from that market? Or
I was going to go back to the Bang and Clank and check out the hot orc one last time.
Yeah,
but also see if you had anything for like in the 100 to 200 gold range in terms of weapons.
Yeah, let's use Uri one last time.
All right, yeah, I'd say you could get there and back as long as you don't dally too much.
Do you announce that you're going to go check out the hot orc or no?
Yep.
I will go with you.
I'll follow as well.
Numbers?
Well, I don't want to be left behind.
We should all sit together, right?
Come on, Aru!
Okay, last time we went to that market, we got attacked.
I'll come to just to protect you guys.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing too.
Look on your face.
All right, so you all quickly hurry back to the market. You find yourself at the Bang and Clank, where you see. I don't know if I gave. Did I? I don't think you guys ever asked that nigga.
Uri,
yes, good notes. You see Uri there.
Uri, yep.
Uri firing up his. Firing up the forge. You know, it's a warm morning already, so he's got his shirt off as he's working the bellows. and he looks over and sees a lot of you and devastatingly gives you all just a big, hot grin. and wipes his hands and like walks over. He's like, it's always good to see repeat customers.
I turn to look, and I'm like, Roisin and Kes, you have the same look on your face.
I love weapons.
Oh,
I love men.
What would you? Well, would you like to see my weapons?
Sure. Yes.
Yes, you would.
I write that quote down in my spellbook.
Awesome.
Looking to see if you have maybe something small, sharp, and pointy. It's good for stabbing.
I says I don't have a lot of that small, but no.
Yeah, moving past the penis puns.
He wouldn't say that because he's cool, unlike Chris Fairfield.
I love you, Chris.
He says, yeah, what are you looking for? He says, we have everything from you know, dagger all on up to a two-hander. So anything in between.
Daggers, I think. They suit me.
So, Matthew, above the table, is there anything particular you're looking for in a dagger? Or just...
I don't know. Maybe like an unspelled one or a common or an uncommon magic one.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about the unspelled items. Let me just do a quick thing here. Uncommon unspelled item. Okay.
And then the rarity is based on the spell level.
Okay. So, Chris is doing math. And how much was it? What was your price range?
100 to 200 gold.
Okay. So for 200 gold, you could get a dagger inspelled with a cantrip. Is there a cantrip from conjuration, divination, evocation, necromancy, or transmutation that you would like to have on there?
I have not thought about it, so I don't know.
I may regret this, but if you would like to pick a cantrip from that spell school, from those spell schools, and I'll put those in the signal chat, I'll let you have whatever cantrip you want. That is in those schools, and it'll be 200 gold pieces for that dagger.
Okay. I will have to do some research then.
Yeah, you can just tell me, preferably in the next 10 to 15 minutes, not that anything's going to happen.
Sure.
What?
I don't know if this is going to cause a problem. I do have to open the bag of holding to get gold out.
Right. Well,
I'm ready.
This is just a part of our life now, I think.
I will do my best to like lift a corner of the flap and get my hand down in to pull out gold.
Yuri, please don't judge us for the company we keep.
I don't know if Snark.
All right, you have to, first of all, roll me. You have to undo her knots, her DC 21 knots. So I need to slide a DC 21 slide of hand check.
21. They're like 24, right?
Or 24. Oh, yeah. So roll me a slide of hand check, DC 21.
Don't forget your D4.
With a D4?
Nope,
D4. With the D4, it's only a 16. I start struggling with a knot. Tommy, can you open this, please?
Yeah, do I have to roll?
I'll say since you created the knots, you do not have to roll.
Okay.
Yes, can I give him advantage by saying, don't embarrass yourself in front of Yuri?
I think that'd be disadvantage, yeah. That's why you couldn't get it open. You're able to open it up.
You just pull this right here, and then... Okay. I give that, and then you're able to do the rest of it.
Easily. All right. So you reach your hand in there. How much money are you pulling? You pull out the 200?
It has 129 gold, so I'm pulling out all of that.
All right. You pull out the 129 gold.
Okay. And then I'll add the additional 71 from my own funds.
Okay.
And then close the bag.
Great. You don't feel any nibbles or anything while your hand's in there.
I tie it back up.
Okay. All right. So you pay for that. Is anybody else hitting anything from Yuri while they're here? Any other magical weapons or?
How much would a shield of crows cost? It's common.
Shield of crows.
I've never heard of that. Let me look this up. That's pretty. It's a dope name.
It's pretty cool.
Is it from a?
I don't know what it's from.
It's definitely partnered content. No! Hold on. I was looking at the. I did my thing filtered the weapon, so it is still partnered content. Oh, it's from the Book of Ebontides.
Okay.
Summon a swarm of ravens. These birds will scout terrain and warn you of enemies. Keep watch while you sleep.
It's maybe it doesn't fit into the campaign. I just saw it and was like, that seems cool.
Yeah, it's a little OP for its rarity.
Fair enough.
So I will say it is something you get, but it's probably going to be uncommon or rare. Yeah, that's a really good ability. Definitely not common.
The Ebontide stuff is higher difficulty, I think, just across the board.
Yeah, their magic item costing is a little out of whack. But like I said, it's a cool item. It's available just outside of your price range today, probably.
Okay. So. Well, it was worth the ask.
Yes.
I rolled a 19 for my knot.
Okay. Was that with your plus D4?
Yeah. I rolled a 1 on the D4. Bummer.
Roll me a D20 and a D4 and tell me what you get when you add them together.
Okay. Oh gosh.
Is it just a luck roll?
Oh god. Don't fuck up. Ooh! 17 plus 4, what's that?
21?
21.
All right, with a 24 perception, you realize something. This is not the same rope that you tied on this bag yesterday.
Oh, no. Hey, Ren?
Yeah?
Sorry.
I was just sticking some metal pieces because I saw Roisin do it.
Do you know rope is? My second rope. Yeah, my second rope. Do you know what happened to it?
Is this a trick question?
No. I'm just wondering because this isn't my rope that I used to tie this bag.
Oh. Do we...
And I was wondering, maybe, like, you wanted to talk to,
Snark.
Snark.
Sometime.
You think he did it? It was inside the bag. That was a really good knot.
I don't think he could have gotten it out. In fact, the Dungeon Master specifically told me he could not get it out. From the inside.
So.
I'm gonna, like, start searching my pockets. Am I missing anything?
Roll me a perception check.
Can I open the bag? Or did you tie it again?
She did tie it again, but she could untie it pretty quickly.
Yeah, I untie it. Well, I think once I realized it was not my robe, I would have stopped tying it. 21. If I realized it while I was tying it.
You don't see anything missing from your possession, Zula.
Okay, well. What else was in the bag other than Snark?
Matthew?
In the bag. Gotta reopen my character sheet because I was looking through spells.
Our smut.
What? Oh, smut theft of 2025.
In the bag of holding were my two romance novels, the remains of The Rug of Smothering, various papers that were just in the bag already when we found it, 129 gold pieces, and any books you guys threw in there as well.
And Snark.
And Snark.
Can I open it and try to grab for Snark?
You reach in there for Snark. Snark is not in the bag.
Well, I'm just going to say that problem solved itself.
I am very concerned that somebody snuck into just in my room, apparently, and stole Snark. And why they would steal Snark, but also I'm not too bothered.
Yeah.
But I am very concerned. And I feel sorry for Hayren because you lost your jewel and your friend.
Just a rock.
Do you have like a thing that can tell you where someone is or something is?
No.
I pass over a cinnamon roll.
Thanks.
Welcome.
Not to metagame, but is there anything else that you look for in the bag?
What else is supposed to be in the bag?
Well, Matt just listed everything that was in the bag.
Well, he got the money. I mean,
I look for the first book from the house.
The
first book in the series that that's
still there. Yes.
Okay.
Is the
so rug... not to take nobody came to just take things that we took from the house.
Yeah,
I'll just turn the bag inside out. Is there anything there that's not supposed to be?
There's nothing there that's not supposed to be. But you do realize that there's some other things missing. Chiefly all the papers that had the infernal writing on it.
Oh, those. Yeah.
Some patron came to collect his belongings.
Damn, I was gonna try and read those.
Do I still have the Dark Shard amulet?
Yes, so that was in your pocket. That's still there.
Interesting.
But yeah, Snark and those scrolls are the only things that seem to be missing from the bag.
Huh.
Well, that's a shame.
Well, he didn't kill us, so
yeah,
that's good.
Yeah. Oh no,
he was watching us.
Jesus, I forgot.
No. Hey, Ren, I don't think this was your guy. I think this was the really big boss in charge. You don't know if he's hot or not.
Oh, that's scary.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard that hot bosses have hot minions, so it goes to show, like, I think you can do the reverse, too. If it's a hot minion, it's probably a hot boss.
I'm here for this logic.
You're so right.
Mm-hmm. I'd find no flaw in that, definitely.
Well, glad that's over then. Nothing bad is ever going to happen from.
Do we need to follow any threads there, or should we just say?
I think we should be concerned about it and aware.
I think maybe we should
maybe pay extra attention from now on. But I don't think we need to like track anything down at the moment. I think we follow this caravan.
It feels a little bit like we dodged a bullet, honestly. It may come back for us in the future, but...
Like, there was no note of warning or threatening or anything. They just came and got their stuff.
Yeah, I mean, if they got into that bag and untied it and retied it well enough, they definitely could have killed us in our sleep.
Yeah.
100%.
I don't know why they took my rope.
True.
Good question.
It was a really nice rope.
It was a really nice
rope. Well, this is also a silk rope. This is just not your rope.
Okay.
That's weird.
Maybe.
Weird.
Oh, so maybe they just had
a lot of ropes in their pocket and they shoved it in their pocket and just pulled out a random rope.
They probably cut through it.
They probably had a lot of rope on them for activities.
Oh, yeah. They ran.
Just what? Adds to the hotness, right?
It does. And I think we should leave now. Instead of talking about this in front of
we did have to hustle so we don't miss the caravan.
Yep.
Sure. No, man. Unless he's into it.
Yeah, does he seem like he's into it?
Oh, he's giving you your privacy. He sold Matt his dagger, and then you all started like messing with your bag, and he just went back to like forging stuff.
As we rush back to the caravan, I want to spend like half a silver on various like preserves and
absolutely you're able to get some nice baking supplies for the road.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Cooking baking stuff.
All right,
we get any more healing potions or no?
How much does a healing potion cost again? Isn't it
50 gold?
50.
Mm-hmm.
I've got one left.
Oh yeah, I've got two.
I've got two.
Me too. Cool.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and replace. I'll buy myself one more.
All right, there's a street vendor on the way back. That's like, healing potions. Get your healing potions here. 50 gold.
Right.
Down a healing potion, replenish up.
Good call, man.
No haggling. Just give me 50 gold pieces and leave with the healing potion. Rushing to catch something? Get your healing potion on the way. All right, so you'll make your way back to the plaza where the caravans are going, and as you get there, you can actually see that like the caravan has started to leave. But much like a parade, like it's like the carts in front are moving out, and you're all able to make your way to the back of the caravan, and it's like a half hour, for that finally to, for your part of it to finally get moving. As you all get to the back of the caravan, you see there's the last cart. It looks to be just an old dwarven family. They've got a cart full of like polished metals, like that they're selling, and presumably moving on to black glass. After you all get moving, so you all are walking. The caravan's moving at a walking pace. But kind of moving up and down it on horseback, you see various people that were pointing people around earlier, and Hugh comes up to a lot of you.
Is it H-U-G-H?
H-U-G-H, yep. He says, you made it in time.
Yep.
Yeah.
This is Hat Man, right?
Yes.
Went shopping.
Yeah, he's still wearing his very flamboyant hat.
His name isn't Grant. It's Hugh.
Is it Hugh Grant?
Grant?
Did I say his name was Grant earlier?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hilarious.
I was naming him after Hugh Grant. I just forgot which half.
That's hilarious.
So yes, his name is in fact Hugh Grant.
Hugh Grant. I'm so glad that we're so familiar to use first names.
He's like, it is so nice too. I'm not gonna do that the whole time. This is what I get for making NPCs up on the spot and then forgetting to write their names. Yes, his name's Grant, Hugh Grant. He says, you can call me Hugh. That's my first name. Anyway, he says, well, I, it's good to have you all aboard. Saw you all, by the way, I saw you all fighting in the market the other day.
Oh, you saw that?
Yeah. He says, that's where I was, he points to his hat. He's like, I was there buying this.
Oh, so that's a recent purchase?
Yeah, I think I'm really pulling it off. What do you think?
For sure. That is two yes. words that I could definitely say about you in that hat.
He's not going to roll an insight check because he wants to believe what you're saying. So he says, well, if you have any problems, I'm your point person. I'm the in charge of the back third of the caravan. So
right. You're an ass man.
Tommy literally giggles like that.
He kind of says, yes, I guess I am, in a way, an ass man. Never thought of it that way. You're a sharp bunch. And with that, he rides off.
Okay.
So.
That's a weird dude.
Yeah.
Very, very weird.
Like, it just seems like he doesn't even real. It seems like he's just made up on the spot.
It's like he just popped out of nowhere.
All right. So you all are doing the very boring work of guarding a caravan, especially when it's near a city and in the least amount of danger, just mm-hmm. walking along. How do you all pass the time as you trudge along behind this wagon?
Are Lily and I trudging, or if it's a walking pace and we're short?
That's fair. You guys are walking, trotting. You guys are briskly walking.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good to know. My shoulders are empty.
Climb on up. I'll probably walk for a while, but once I get like once it's like, okay, this pace is a lot, I'll climb up.
Mm-hmm. Sir Greg takes like. He can't decide if he wants to walk along with you or be carried like be back in the pouch, and so he's frequently out of the pouch, in the pouch, out of the pouch, in the pouch.
I'll probably be asking Hayren and Tomy to like show me their cantrips or like other magic that doesn't cost them anything as we're walking along, just so I can look and study. And Ula, you have magic too. You have cantrips too, I mean.
Well, and I have wizard cantrips too, specifically. Mm-hmm. So you could use them.
Oh yeah, Matt, did you settle on dagger spell?
Hmm.
So you're still thinking about that. All right.
Oh, that's, I can do that. Because you didn't, it's, no, I couldn't do that one.
So just
I'm gonna go, I think, with I'm gonna go with Starry Wisp.
Oh yeah. I like that one.
All right. It is so it has been and so it is done.
I have that one. It's awesome.
Shay and Joe, you'll wanna connect to maps if you haven't already.
Uh-huh. Maps? Why?
Who knows?
Just to clarify, I am a cleric, so I can wake up every day and I can choose what spells I take.
That's correct.
Not your cantrips, right?
Those are cantrips are set, right?
Yeah, cantrips are set. Everything else you get to choose. Oh.
But I can... Is that a wizard thing?
With wizards,
I'll be right back.
Oh, wizards can change out cantrips now, I think, as part of their wizardy things, yes.
Yeah. Okay. That's cool.
Yeah.
Today, I show you Frostbite, Green Flame Blade, and my classic Mage Hand.
Classic Mage Hand.
I am serving Prestidigitation with this look.
I'm giving Green Flame Alaganza today.
Real quick.
Look,
Oh, sorry. Tomi will cast a minor illusion on Sir Greg, so he looks like a baby groundhog instead of a baby badger.
Of course he can.
And Art. I'll show you elementalism. And so I'll just literally start creating elements, like a gust of wind. I can create things out of earth. I can make just like a handful of fire. Yeah. Is it summer?
Yeah.
It's the equator, right? It's warm.
Yeah, it's warm here.
Okay. So I'll use elementalism to beckon water, and it's just a cool mist that I create right in front of us that we walk into.
Yes, it is early summer. I would have had that answer more readily, but we've been playing over different hemispheres, and so flip-flopping. But yes, it is early summer, so it is warm. The mist is very well appreciated. Okay. So, you all spend the day showing each other spells, idly chatting, hanging out with your familiars. That evening...
Sorry, Chris, can I change my mind?
Yes, of course you can.
I'm going to change it to Thorn Whip instead.
Thorn Whip. Ooh.
Good one.
That is a fun one. I like it. Okay, so that evening, the caravan nearing sunset kind of grinds to a halt, and you all make camp for the evening. You see various tents have been pitched, fires are going up and down, and as you all break formation and get your tents and sleeping bags out, you all are approached by Ahanu.
Hi, Ahanu.
How's it going? And she's says well, Sugar Drops, just wanted to see how y'all were settling in on your first day.
Good.
Pretty well.
Yeah, nothing that exciting so far.
She says, that's hopefully how it'll be this whole trip. Hopefully nothing will jump out and get us. She says, so always like to check in with the new hires on their first day. Just get to know them a little bit better. You don't grow to be 150 years in the caravanning business without learning a few tricks here and there. And I think the best trick you can learn is to just learn about the people that are with you. So she says, you all mentioned that you slayed a demon of some sorts here in the city, and that he could put you into the good favor of Philomena Goldfound.
Sure mm-hmm. did.
Yes.
She says, how'd you all get wrapped up in that?
We went shopping.
And that's basically it. Yeah.
That's it. That's what happened.
Long story short, that would be it.
Yep.
Let's make the long story long. We went shopping. There was an attack on the marketplace by zombies. We put down the zombies, and the necromancer who was leading the zombies. And then was it Constable?
Guard Captain.
Guard Captain.
Yeah.
Gem Cutter.
Mm-hmm.
Then asked us if we would watch the body of the necromancer overnight, since it kept resurrecting. But the reason it kept resurrecting was possessed by a demon. So the demon got up, kind of carried the body of the necromancer along with it, and we were able to kill the demon. And the necromancer stayed deceased because it was deceased the whole time.
Well, it's quite a story. You all should write that down and publish it as a Penny Dreadful or something.
Yeah, it was pretty dreadful, yes.
Well, sounds like you all were surprised and reacted quickly. It's an important skill to have for guards. So, yeah. Well, pleasure making y'all's acquaintance. She says, hey, Rin, if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to have a word with you.
I want to examine this person closely and compare it to the few minutes that we spent in her company back at...
Roll me an insight check.
Plus a
d4.
Balls. Actually, that's a 17.
Okay. Looks to be the same woman. You don't detect any hint of malice, just a very subtle curiosity.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. Did you want to see a poster of the demon? we had one done.
Just absolutely, of course. We're making demons hotter and hotter these days.
Right? That's what I said.
She said, but yeah, word.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
She kind of walks a few steps away from everybody else. Still within easy sight distance of everybody, but with a modicum of privacy. She says, I've never seen someone quite like you before. Are you half Triton, half Dragonborn?
Yes. How did you know?
She says, I'm curious now. Where did you get that blade of yours?
From my parents. Do you?
Which one? No? Which one in particular?
My father. Well, I was given from my father to my mother, if I'm remembering my backstory correctly. And then it was given to me after she, you know.
And was your father a dragonborn, or was he a Triton?
I've never met him. I don't know anything much. I think he was a dragonborn.
Just a warm smile crosses her face as you confirm that key piece of information.
Why? Do you know something? Do you know who my dad is?
She says, she says, some 30 some years past or so, she says, there was the most beautiful dragonborn. She says, that was guarding in my caravan. And he had the most unusual blade I'd ever seen, not made of metal. And he sang the most beautiful songs I've ever heard in my life, and there's not a day goes by that I haven't thought of them.
Wait, Billy.
She nods.
Did it look like this blade?
She says, it sure did. You don't forget a blade like that.
I'll pick it out.
She gives it an appraising look and says, yeah, that's the one, all right. She says, it shines so bright. She says, "Do you want to? Would you be willing to do that for me?"
What?
She says, "You don't know."
I thought you were talking a metaphor. I don't know.
She says, "Can I see it for a moment?"
Okay.
She takes it for a second, kind of familiarly, like flips it around, and then mutters a word you can't quite make out as the blade comes to life with this beautiful pale moonlight that shines silvery around it.
I scream, but like in like kind of delight, but also shock.
And she hands it back to you, still glowing.
What? How did you do that?
She says, your father used this as a torch more often than not. She says, the most beautiful torch I've ever seen in my life.
That's beautiful. Also kind of counterproductive. Not very useful.
No, why would you say something like that?
Oh, because if you have a sword, you should stab things with it.
She says, a thing can have many purposes. She says, if all a sword was meant for was stabbing, why make it so beautiful?
Very wise. Do you remember his name?
She says, yes, it was. And of course, I'm going to make this up because you did not give it to me.
Oh, I did it. I was like, I don't know my dad.
She says his name was Rin.
Rin?
R-E-N, yes.
Oh. Well, if that makes sense.
And she says he must have loved your mom very much. The sword had been in his family for quite some time, and he said he would only ever give it up to the person who'd captured his heart's song. And that's why I named it the sword, Kerkorin, which is draconic for heart's song. She says, it's such a beautiful story, and I'll never forget it. She says, and that's what you need to say to light it up. And as you say that, the sword dims back to its usual color.
Thank you.
She says, where is he now? I'd like to talk to him again sometime.
I was hoping to ask you if you knew.
She says, last I saw him 30 years past, if I remember correctly, he was heading west.
That was before I was born, so. Well, when I find him, then do a letter. I don't know where the accent went. I will send you a letter.
She reaches into one of her many pockets and pulls out a sheaf of paper. And she says, well, when you're ready to do that, she says, this letter will find itself to me. She gives you a paper bird.
Thank you. I really really appreciate you sharing that with me.
She says, well, of course, Sugar Drop. She says, I appreciate you helping me take a little trip down memory lane. She says, to pleasant times. She says, now I got work I got to get off to. She says, but I'm so thankful that you all happen to be on my caravan. And she says, I'm too old to believe in things like fate, but damn, what a fun coincidence it is to run into you out here. And as she starts to walk off back up towards the head of the caravan, she starts singing a song about searching for love. And even though you don't remember ever hearing it, there's something about it that is familiar to you in that moment.
I will pick it up the best I know. And really loudly sing it while I get back to my companion.
Yeah, they're just right. They watched this whole thing, so they were not far away.
What a cute little love aside on this Valentine's Day.
Oh, it is Valentine's Day.
Yes. I forgot.
And they're tearing up. That was beautiful. Thank you, Chris.
So what happened? Your sword's a torch now?
Way to deflate the moment. So good.
Yeah, yes. It's a torch now. But not all swords have to stab. You know, swords that are so beautiful should shine. But is that what she said?
You'll still use it to stab, right?
I mean,
still going to stab people.
Cool. Great. Awesome.
Great.
They're, yes. Well, hopefully. Oh, but she knew my dad.
What? Oh, you don't know yet? Wait.
Yeah, do you not know yet?
Are we surprised by this? We're surprised.
I don't think Heron's ever mentioned this, yeah.
Okay, we're surprised. Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
That's cool.
Because I never knew my dad.
No. Wait, I thought you came from a powerful family.
It's on my mom's side.
Oh.
Yeah, the Morning Stars on Simport. Anyway, they could definitely all touch the book. Probably start floating.
But could they lick the book?
Yeah. You know, they're so boring. I don't think any of them would. But
I like this new shorthand for whether or not a person's good or not. A good person or not, they could touch the book.
Oh, this is such good code.
Yeah. Right. Well, and it gives it nuance because they could touch the book. You did lick it, but you got a fuzzy Pop Rocks feeling, which is more than nothing. So, like, are we on the scale of second degree burns? Fuzzy Pop Rocks, or what are you talking about?
Yeah.
So are you looking for your dad then?
Well, I wasn't really, because I didn't want to get my hopes up. I never knew him, and it was kind of like forbidden to talk about him. My mom passed away when I was... Anyway.
Do you know why it was forbidden to talk about it?
I always like to think that it was because they couldn't be together. But their love was too strong. Which, you know, basically, Ahanu just kind of confirmed because he went searching for love and he could only give this blade to someone who he loved a lot, like his heart song. And also, my family is really shitty and they were going to marry me off to further their business. And, you know, I can only imagine that that's probably also another reason why my parents couldn't get together. But they did, and they had me.
Well, I'm glad that happened, because you are awesome. And I'm happy that you got to learn this.
Yeah. And what a weird coincidence that the weird random path we've been on has led you to be on this caravan with this woman who just happened to know your father and could tell by the sword you had. It's crazy.
It is crazy.
Maybe it's a sign that you're on the right path or something. Or maybe it's just coincidence.
Yeah.
Yeah, about signs in general, I guess.
That's true. Anyway, if we ever need a torch now, this thing, we can do it. Thanks for being here with me for that.
Well, and we'll keep an eye out. Who knows?
I mean, it would be a hell of a coincidence if your dad just happened to show up on this adventure, but...
That would be crazy!
You hear a familiar, you hear a voice from the darkness. Wait, is that my daughter?
He was on the star that fell from the sky.
Yeah.
Do you know what he looked like? Do you have a, can you make a drawing of him or have someone make a drawing just in case?
Ahanu said he was beautiful.
All right.
Beautiful dragonborn.
Do you know what type of dragonborn it was?
I mean, I can probably, I know, right?
Yeah.
Guessing what? He was a pearl dragon.
Pearl.
Fancy.
That's why I look like this, I think. Hmm.
Are gem dragons common in this setting, Chris?
They're pretty uncommon. And since I made up pearl dragons specifically for Haven's backstory, they're incredibly rare.
I don't think I've ever heard of a pearl dragonborn before.
So I'm super special. But also, that probably means that we don't have to do too many paternity tests if we, you know, come across him, because what are the chances?
That's a really good point.
Also, though, it's pretty easy to ask around about.
Oh, that's
also true.
Have you seen a pearl dragonborn before?
I mean, it's one of the reasons why, you know, this person remembers him so vividly. Is he was very unique looking, very pretty, very, you know, high charisma, perhaps, with singing songs. Had the sword made out of a scale from a dragon that maybe is what there's one of in the entire world.
Oh, damn.
That's cool.
Yeah. Maybe when we get back to civilization, we can keep an ear out.
And you actually remember, when you were in that magic shop, that shop owner said that she would trade you literally anything in the shop for that sword. So
that's right.
The granddaddy demon is watching us sleep. Brings up a great point. We should really guard our stuff better.
Yeah. Maybe you should, like, have some fabric that tied over and have it draped over your sword.
Well, I propose that while we're out here on the road, that one of us keeps watch.
Yeah.
We take turns
100%.
At night.
It's almost like that's your, it's almost like that's your job.
I do have a confession. Not much of a confession. Something that you should probably know about me. I'm not very good at finding things or looking at things. I don't have great eyesight or perception.
Oh, should we have, like, gone get you glasses while we were still in town?
No, I mean, you know, for watches, I would not be the best. I would like a buddy who maybe...
Well, there's five of you, so two of you could definitely double up on a shift.
Yeah.
I would also say not abysmal, but not great.
I am very perceptive.
I can persuade the heck out of somebody.
Nice.
So, what's the watch order?
I can go first.
Okay. Tomi?
Yes.
Good. Then who's going to be next?
This will go second.
Yes.
Use this one.
I'll go third.
Okay. And then Hayren and Roisin last. Okay. So Tomi, go ahead and make me your perception check.
Five.
You
I'm
hear?
So blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed.
Actually,
I'm blessed.
Not anymore. It's been over 24 hours now.
Oh. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't have done a whole lot anyway.
Yeah. You. You're actually. That's one of the disadvantages of being in the first watch shift. Is like most people in the caravans are still awake, so you just hear lots of like talking and laughing, and you know, peopling. Drink. You hear some people like getting drunk nearby. Without a care in the world, because they don't have to guard the caravan. Okay. Cass, you're up next.
Can I actually amend that? Can I have stayed up with Tomi to do something else that I wouldn't be paying attention?
Yeah, what are we going to do with?
I wanted to bond with my weapons for the fighter class.
Just... Oh, cool.
Oh, nice.
I have no idea what that does, so you'll have to tell me.
Now?
No, it does anytime in the future. Yeah. Okay. Kes, roll my perception check.
14.
Okay. So, yeah, things kind of quiet down on your watch. People go to sleep. About halfway through your shift, you hear like a twig snap and you see somebody approaching from the caravan, and as you get closer, you recognize the silhouette of a large hat and a feather. Hugh Grant approaches and just says, looks around, gets to the end of the camp, sees you there keeping watch, and he just says, anything?
Yeah. Guy in a weird hat.
Your friend said it was fetching.
It's eye-catching.
Is this part of your plan to take the set?
No.
Okay.
Just Cass being kind of a jerk.
Roll me intimidation check. I think bullying falls under the auspices of intimidation.
11.
This is Cass showing why he can read the book.
Cass showing why he has a minus one, minus one charisma.
Yeah. Well, that minus one Chris was why he's like, I don't trust you to know it's stylish anyway. And then he just he says, did somebody go over what to do if you spot anything that you can't kill?
Scream for help.
You got it. And then he walks off.
Cool.
All right. Puts up.
I did check him out as he walks away.
Roll me
he persuade. Did say he's an ass man.
Roll me a perception check.
Another 14.
The man is smuggling hams in the back of his pants. He is. This is a man who has never once skipped leg day.
Oh damn! Maybe I'll steal his pants instead.
All right, Ula, your watch. Go ahead and roll me.
No D4. Oof. Could have been bad, but it was fine. 19.
Nothing urgent. You do like partway through the shift see like it looks to be like a small, maybe like an ocelot. Like a big cat, but not like a big cat. Just sort of like skulking at the edges and like going up to like a kind of dying campfire and like grabbing like a hunk of like leftover meat that was left on it and then like stalking back off. But aside from that, it's a pretty uneventful shift.
I think very hard about trying to make friends. And I don't.
All right.
You
finish your shift not having befriended an ocelot.
Disappointed. I finished my shift disappointed at my choices.
All right. Roisin and Hayren, roll me a perception check.
Because Roisin went with Tomi.
No, she was just staying up to do stuff.
Yep.
Oh. For a little bit.
So,
doesn't look like a good face.
17.
Hey.
Hey.
Less than that.
All right. You all are on shift as the sun rises. You see Hugh Grant come by again. So we're wearing different clothes but the same hat. And he looks at the two of you and says, anything to report?
Just a beautiful hat on the horizon.
What is the purpose of this? Are you trying to compliment him and build him up? Are you trying to subtly intimidate him or bully him? Or what is Roisin's sincerity level, I guess?
I think it's a mix. She thinks it's stupid, but she also knows he likes it. So it's kind of like it's a joke to herself, but she's also trying to
Okay, if you're not trying to be offensive, roll me a deception check. If you are trying to hurt his feelings, roll an intimidate check.
Deception. They're the same. 5.
What's your charisma? 0.
0. You need a spyglass to find it. It's so small.
he says, all right, well... Roll me an insight check.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. Oh, I rolled well then. 18.
If his feelings are hurt, he hides it well. He says, all right then, well, another day. And he turns around and trots off on his horse. All right, so you'll guard the caravan once more. More boring work. You'll break for after breakfast is served to y'all. You'll break for lunch. It's getting near the late afternoon when as you all are navigating a curve in the forest, you all hear a loud rustling sound from the bushes, the thick growth to the side of the road.
Sir Greg, is that you?
Sir Greg's in your pocket and goes.
It's not Sir Greg.
As you all watch, you see bursting through the undergrowth a large giant with two heads, and it reaches, or kind of rushes forward, and it picks up with one hand the horses that are with one hand the horse that is leading the cart in front of you, and rips it from its like reins, and that is where we'll pick up next time with initiative right there. So
dang it.
On Etten. Oh no.
Etten, no! The bane!
Well, this one at least doesn't have like one of its mouths sewn shut. It doesn't appear to be a hyper intelligent, big game evil boss.
True enough. Gosh. There are levels.
All right. So we'll pick back up there. We'll start, have an exciting start for the next session. But great start, a great session, everybody. Lots of really good role play. Love to see it. So.
And we level
Thank
up.
Thank you.
And we level up.
No. Come back.
But I thought I might have a shot.
Ask me again after you've defeated Annette.
Fair enough.
All right.